Well, good evening. It's good to see all of you. We're glad that you're here. Welcome to our Wednesday night Bible study time. And next week, we will begin our study of 1 Corinthians verse by verse. That will take us who knows how long, but we'll eventually get through it. Very good book, and we'll start that next Wednesday night. So we're glad that you're here tonight. Tonight, you're in for a treat. We have special guest with us. Dr. Lyndall Holloway is the senior pastor of First Baptist Church of Weatherford, Texas, on the other side of the Metroplex, and Kenny Upton is a church planter about a new church start that First Baptist Weatherford is helping to sponsor. I believe it's west of Weatherford, called Garden Church, and so we'll hear about that tonight. We're praying about being a sponsor as well and helping them out in some way, and so we appreciate them coming tonight, sharing about the work there and what they hope to see God do, and that we join them in prayer and a potential sponsorship as well. So one of the things about First Baptist Weatherford that I really respect is that it's been a missions church, one that always looks outside the walls to get involved, and that's what we do as well. And so that's kind of the same heart that we do in wanting to get outside the walls of the church and meet needs in the lives of people, be that close or be that far away, but they're committed to do that, and we are as well. So I like Sister Church with us tonight as well. So thank y'all for being here. And Jim Witt will come in a moment and introduce them a little more, but let me have a word of prayer, and we'll get started. Father, thank you tonight for your love for us and the ways that you show that love most perfectly in Jesus Christ. And Father, I pray tonight that as we look at your work in Weatherford area, God, I just pray that you would direct the thoughts, the plans, Lord, as we commit those to you tonight, that you would just be in control and that you'd use that church for your glory to reach people, to expand the kingdom, and Father, just so people's lives can be changed with the good news of Jesus. Lord, I thank you for these people. Thank you for our church, and pray that God, you'd bless us as we continue to meet needs as well and expand the kingdom in various places, Garland, and throughout the world. So Father, thank you for your work. Thank you for your presence and your spirit. We're honored to be your children tonight, and I just pray that you would be among us as we visit. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, folks, again, it's great to see you. You're in for a special treat tonight. You're going to get to meet two new friends of mine. I've known Lyndall and Kenny since about April, I think, is when we first met. And we had lunch today. I see several people who were here this afternoon for lunch, and then we spent the afternoon together. And I'm just so excited for you to hear their hearts about starting a new church in the Weatherford, Parker County area. One of the things that I felt led to by the Lord was for our church to be involved in a new church start. But I wanted a church that was not already meeting. You know, they hadn't started having their first worship experiences yet. They do have some small groups meeting, but there hasn't been a first worship experience. And as I've gotten to know Lyndall and I've heard what led his church to sponsor Garden Church, and as I got to know Kenny and I hear his heart, I hear his testimony, and I know what he's desiring the Lord would do through him in this new church, I just think this is a place that we need to be. And so I'm delighted you're here tonight. I hope you'll listen closely. Now, at the end, you'll have an opportunity to ask questions. And I hope you'll ask questions. There are no bad questions. Maybe some of the answers I don't know about. But there are no bad questions. Okay? So you feel free to ask any question you want. So Kenny and Lyndall, come on up. And you guys are on.
Well, first of all, let me say thank you so much for having us here tonight. We're excited to share the story about what God has been doing, and we'll also be the first to confess that we're no experts at it. We've just been put together, we feel like, by the Lord. We've worked through a lot of things. We've grown to love and respect each other very, very deeply, and we're excited to see what God is doing. And Jim invited us to just come and share a little bit of the story about how it came together and what it is that we're doing. So I'm going to share with you a little bit about what God has been doing through First Baptist Weatherford, some of the journey we were on, and how it intersected with Kenny, and then he'll come and share about his side of things, of how God's been working from the other side of things for the church plant. I got to First Baptist Weatherford in 2015, and the church was in need of revitalization. That's the nicest way you can put this when you're on a stream and you don't know who might be watching this, right? So, and they knew that at the time. That's not a secret to them, but they had much better times as a church and had been through some very difficult things and were struggling at the time. And that was the type of ministry that I knew that God was preparing me for and calling me to. I had served 20 years in different churches as a youth minister, and then there was some overlap time, but I became an executive pastor for a period of 10 years at a church of 2,500 with 35 staff members, and we had 11 simultaneous worship services that happened in different venues over two different campuses, and organized all that and did those things. But I knew that God was calling me to the story that I had heard over and over. There's 46,000-ish Southern Baptist churches in the United States, and many of them, their heyday was a while back, and they're struggling with what to do now. And I felt very called to come into a church like that and help them remember what God had called them to and see what God might do through them. I want to share with you from the book of Acts tonight, because I believe this is such a relevant thing that people often miss. We get to talk about missions, and we begin to quote things like Jesus wants us to go and make disciples, right? And that he's going to send us to all the places in the world. But sometimes they miss this. In the book of Acts, in verse 4 and following, it says, while he was with them, he commanded them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait for the Father's promise, which he said, you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit in a few days. So when they had come together, the disciples asked him, Lord, are you restoring the kingdom to Israel at this time? He said to them, it's not for you to know the times or the periods that the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. And I think this passage right here is such a good picture for us to learn from. Jesus, who was about to leave these disciples that he had invested in, was looking at them and saying, it's time for you to pick up the mantle, but the first thing that you need to do is go home and wait. Go home and wait until the Spirit is in charge and is leading this. And then what was their question? Well, but what about Jerusalem? God, aren't you going to restore this? And isn't this important? And Jesus, I think, in the most Jesus way that he could, said, that's not for you to worry about. You're going to be my witnesses, but you don't do this in your own power. You wait for the Spirit of God. And so as we were working to revitalize a church that had seen really good times but had walked through some difficult times, we knew that to be the church that God has called us to be, we had to look outside the walls and stop looking at ourselves. And so we began to purposefully do programs that invested into the kingdom of God in our community. And I would be constantly asked as pastor questions that were similar to what the disciples asked Jesus is, well, pastor, when we do this, is that going to be the silver bullet that fixes our church? Is that what's going to get people to come to First Weatherford again? And my answer was, it really doesn't matter, because we want to do these things for the kingdom, and we need to focus on the kingdom work. And so we began to do those things. God began to bless those things that we were doing. Our church began to get healthier again. And then there was this little worldwide disease that happened. Anybody, did that happen here in Garland as well? That COVID thing? Yeah, that happened to us as well. And much like many churches experienced, we then had to revitalize the church again after that. And God began to lead us to a place of health, but we still were not in a secure and strong place where we needed to be as a church. Meeting budget was still something that you would lose sleep over, or making cuts on things, and how are we going to continue to move forward and do these ministries that we feel like the Lord is calling us to. And it was about that time that Kenny showed up, and he began to share his story, which I won't steal any of his thunder, about where God had him and what he was doing. And I had known that from the beginning of the story of First Baptist Church that one of the things that had made First Baptist Church a great kingdom church in the past was many of the churches that are existing in Parker County today are there because they were planted by First Baptist Church at some point in time. And our church had not done that in a long time. And so I knew that somewhere in our journey, I felt like God was going to lead us to do this again. Well, the timing was not my timing, and the place was not my place, but Kenny shows up and shares his story, and I just say, well, let's explore this. And one of the things I shared with Kenny at the time is I said, now, I want to tell you something, is if the Lord leads you on a timeline that's different than First Baptist Church, then you need to follow the Lord, and you don't owe us as a church anything, but I would love to walk with you down this path and explore it as far as we can. And last couple of years, as we've worked together, and I stood in front of my church and I shared this demographic study with them that said that in the next 10 years, the projections are that 1 million people are moving west of Fort Worth. And we are west of Fort Worth. Now, they're not all coming to Weatherford, but I would assume that a good amount of them are. And so I stood in front of my church a couple of years ago and shared that with them and said, now, I don't know what we need to do about that, and we don't have a plan, and I don't even know what I'm asking you to give to, but I know that we need to be ready when the Lord tells us that we need to do something. And with that much information, our church created what was called the Church Plant Fund, and people in our church who are faithful to the work of the Lord began to give to that, and we, you know, maybe raised $5,000 or $10,000 that we had there. But then, through that, Kenny and his story came along, and we were able to begin funding his journey to become a church planter. We took care of his seminary as he went to seminary to learn and to craft his skills. We took care of the cost for him to be involved in a church plant residency through Plant Fort Worth, where he was able to learn skills as a church planter. And then along that path, as we walked, God blessed our church in such a way that we committed to plant this church by giving $100,000 to start the church over a two-year period, $30,000 up front to help them get supplies and things necessary to start the church, and then commit to $3,000 a month for the first 2 years, and then we'll evaluate how we're going to continue to support it after that. And when we made that commitment, we didn't know how we were going to do that, but I can tell you today that it's fully funded and ready to go by the grace and the faith of the people of the church and by God's work. And so we sit here today saying that what we committed to do 3 years ago was we'll meet every Thursday and we'll talk and we'll see what the Lord's going to be doing. And we've met pretty much every Thursday to just pray about, God, what's the path that you have us on, and what are you doing through this? And we've frustrated each other along the way. We've argued and debated with each other along the way, but ultimately we've sought the Lord that's led us to this place today, and we're excited to see where the Lord may continue to lead. Now let's hear Kenny tell his part of the story.
Well, just, I might be super loud. Bring me down if need be. Forgive me. It's a gift and a curse. Yeah, Jesus is awesome. And Jesus is building his church. And there's been no doubt of that in these past 3 years for me. I come from a background, I was raised Catholic. I was there for 15 years, left the Catholic Church to pursue music. Played music, and boy, the intellectuals and the artists in the Dallas-Fort Worth area rocked my world. They knew much more than I did theologically, and they shook whatever I thought I knew away. And so I became a firm non-believer, not only in the church, but in Jesus. I thought Jesus was a fairy tale. I became a persecutor of the church. I would see young men or young women becoming heavily involved in the church, and I would beg them to leave. I was dead set in my brain that it was actually tearing them down, breaking them apart, not making them stronger. And so that's where I was. That's kind of where the Lord started really working on me in strange and mysterious ways. I held no real skills other than playing guitar, so every job I ever had was a business I had to start. And that has come into great handy with planting a church, right? You're even seeing how God is redeeming those skills, but I just kind of paved my own way, and I thought that's kind of how you do this, and that's how life works, and you play music, you find things you're good at, and you try to be successful, and success is measured by income and material things, and it's just who I was. No different than every kid around my age right now that everyone's so terrified for and scared that they're so lost, because they are. You have every right to be. But I had a grandmother at home praying every night and every morning for her knucklehead grandson. I had a girl that was in a Bible study, and she was asked to write the name on a rock of two people that would never come to faith. One of them was my name, Kenny, and another one was Howard Stern. There's hope for Howard Stern tonight. But years later, she shares this with me while I'm pursuing this path, and she went to go find the rock, and it was in an old pair of jeans, and she pulled the rock out of the jeans, and my name had been washed off. So she had washed those pants at some point, and my name was no longer on there. So just little things like that have just been these little reminders of who actually is in charge and who actually is doing this work. And so I'll spare you guys a much longer story than what really needs to be told, because there's a million miracles along the way. But the first time I really heard and the gospel really registered in my life, I was under arrest for my second DWI, and I was in an Arlington emergency room. I didn't get an accident or anything. I refused a breathalyzer test, and that's not a good idea. Hopefully none of you will ever have to experience that. But they take you right to the hospital, and they draw your blood. And I had just got done playing a gig, and all of my instruments were in my car, and a brother walked up to me, and he was a police officer, an Arlington police officer, and he said, "Hey, you play music?" I was like, "I do, man." He's like, "Well, I do too." And I was heading down this path that I easily could have seen myself sitting in your seat right now. But guess what? Like, I found out there's this God who sent his son to turn our face back to his goodness and accept him. By the grace of God, he came for even you and me. And it was the first time I'd ever heard the gospel truth without any connotation of judgment. This man didn't need me to be baptized in that moment or write my name down or give him a phone number and he'll check back in tomorrow. No, he trusted that the Holy Spirit would work. And my goodness, he did. And so from that point on, I was sentenced. I got jail time or work release. So I picked work release, no brainer. You can go to home every night. God put me in a church to work. So I went there and I saw the Lord continually. I saw people coming in great need. By the way, most of the time that need was their fault. And in the church I had known growing up, there would have been some condemnation. Or at least some counseling, like, "Hey, maybe you shouldn't do this next time before we give you this." But not at this place. It was in a place where they knew the gospel couldn't get through if these bellies were hungry, right? So they knew they had to meet this need and become a blessing to these people before their ears would ever open up. And just little things like that, I saw again and again the grace and the mercy of Jesus. And it started becoming real to me. I had been divorced and estranged from my family. God redeemed and restored that marriage. He sent us to the Weatherford area, and I began going to church in Peaster. It was the first time I ever heard the gospel. And I was convicted, and my life changed. And I made a promise to God, hey, I've worked my whole life going the opposite way of you and taking everybody I could. But now that you've turned my face toward you and your goodness, and I know it to be true, brother, I'm coming with all I got. And I'm bringing everybody I can with me. And so opportunity after opportunity was provided. I was given a teaching ministry at this church where I'd learned the gospel. I was baptized with my wife. I was baptized with my two children in this church. And the Lord just kept providing. And then a brother of mine had a question just kind of about kind of the governance of the church. And it was met with just kind of viciousness by the senior pastor. And that was a very confusing time for me. But there was such a group there that was so committed and kind that I knew we needed to keep together in some way, right? So that's what began the conversations for all the churches around the Weatherford area. Hey, I think we want to plant a church. What does that look like? I had no business talking about planting a church. And most of them knew it and said, there's the door, bro. But Lindell said, what does that look like? And throughout this process, by the way, I am an impulsive man. I am a loud man. And I can get things done, right, if with those two things. I'm also kind of big. But this brother the whole time has sat with me and consistently said, man, we need to wait on the Spirit. If the Spirit's moving faster in your heart, if the Spirit's moving faster in your life, there's the door. But the invitation was always to wait on the Spirit. And I never would have received that if I hadn't seen him continually do it himself. And so First Baptist Church for me, when I went to go sit in it, it was so I could learn to love a people I didn't understand. And they welcomed me with open arms. This was not my crew. I did not go there because I was comfortable, because it entertained me. No, it was a revitalization. And it was people desperate for Jesus. And it changed everything for me. And so we've consistently been down this path. We've seen the Lord open doors, the $100,000. Lindell is too humble to say it, but it is just like the story in the Bible where the woman gives out of her lack, right? She gave everything that she had. This is not a giant budget church where they have every bit of money to give. No, they're saying, hey, we don't have 100 grand to give. We want to give it. Because Jesus is big, and what he's doing is awesome, and we trust it, and we see it in you, Kenny. I wore long sleeves tonight, but I got tattoos. I mean, I don't look like I should be hanging with these folks, and they've loved me again and again and again. So we're planting the Garden Church in Weatherford, Texas, because of the saints. And the mission of that church is helping people know Jesus by living lives that show Jesus. Because everywhere on my journey, yes, the gospel changed my life once my ears were opened. But it was those people who trusted the Holy Spirit more than converting me in that moment. And them just leaving me to chew on what they just laid on me that changed my life and turned my face toward Jesus. And so I'm so grateful for them. The Lord is consistently building his church around those people right now. So I am coming alongside a bunch of Bible studies that have been happening for the last 3 years in Weatherford, and now they're calling me pastor. Like, I didn't do any of this. So I feel extremely inadequate in this season. It's incredible because it drives me to my knees in praise and in thanks because Jesus is bigger. I'll wait for you to get it. No, I'm kidding. We can go and tour the Roman Empire today for like $30, right? The ruins of this mighty empire. And we're talking about Jesus in Garland, Texas. His kingdom doesn't make sense. It turns the world upside down. But his kingdom will prevail. We trust that. We believe that. And I'm just grateful to be here to share just a piece of that. And to come alongside the saints and go on mission with you, brothers and sisters. And so, that's it for me. Q&A?
Tell them a little bit about what you're planning, a little bit about the future, what you think the future's going to look like.
Oh, goodness. I think the future's going to look great. I could say more adjectives on what I think the future will look like. No, I think the Lord's doing a great work. And so where I'm from Weatherford. I was born and raised in Weatherford. And there, you guys know this. I'm sure you've experienced this quite a bit. There's a great deal of cultural Christianity, meaning there's this kind of surface-level kindness that everyone in Texas has. And it's beautiful, and it's awesome, but it really doesn't go beyond surface level. And so even some of the questions we got from lunch today were, how are you going to reach kind of your age group? And there is such a hunger, spiritual hunger, for people in my age group. It's ridiculous. And so I think sometimes we're aimed at trying to promote spiritual growth and get them in a Bible study or something like this. We might be looking at it the wrong way, because that was a concern that we heard at lunch. They're not interested in spiritual growth, and I agree with that. My age group is not concerned with spiritual growth. What they're concerned with is rest. I am not finding rest. They're seeking it on vacations. In my case, alcohol. They're seeking it on the phone, which I call Ephesus in my pocket. They're seeking it everywhere except for where they can really find that rest. And so when I see people just restless, running in circles, cultural Christians, good people, but not finding rest, I can say, you know, Jesus says, come to me, all who are weary and heavy burdened, heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And I believe that. And he says, actually, he's the only place that you can find that rest. And if you're willing to look at it with me, I can show you other places that the Bible says God is rest. And so we can begin looking at what it looks like to rest, which is appealing to everybody. And so that's how I find a way in with the younger crowd right now. And because of that, the world is not worried about what people think. The church a lot of times is trying to get into people's head, change what they think. The world doesn't care what you think. The world cares what you love. And it is building spaces, and it is building practices, and it is building rituals determined to capture your heart. From the stores you shop in, to what you're watching on TV, to the stories you're hearing, to the music you're listening to, it is all shaped around capturing your heart, not your mind. And so once you love Jesus, or once these kids love Jesus, man, they'll want to know everything about him. I use this analogy a bunch. When I started playing guitar, I was 10 years old, and my grandmother was taking me for lessons. I hated playing guitar. It was the worst. My teacher was boring. The instrument was, I don't know, I wanted to play drums so much easier. And I did not like any part of the experience. And my grandma finally was like, all right, we're going to stop doing it then. And then one day when I was about 15 years old, some brother came to show and tell or something with an electric guitar. And he played one note on it. And I said, what is that? I want to be a part of that thing. And so it captured my heart in that moment. And the next 10, 20 years of my life were just built around me, deeply forming my habits and my knowledge of this instrument, because it had my heart. And so if we can quit maybe focusing on cognitive things, I'm not getting through to them cognitively. They're not understanding what I'm saying. And focus on their hearts and let them see that Jesus is beautiful. Ask them questions. Where are you finding rest? Where are you finding comfort? Where are you finding peace? Because this word here, this ancient word that so many have tried to debunk over thousands of years, and it's converted more than have ever come close to debunking it, right? This book says that peace is Jesus. This book says that, sorry, bro. This book says that rest is Jesus. And if this book has converted so many people, millions of people over thousands of years, maybe it's worth our consideration in our time. And that is a good way to get the inquisitive postmodern mind into this word, because they think nothing can be disproven or nothing can be proven. It's kind of that postmodern relativist mindset, right? It's all relative to how you're feeling right now, man. Well, this book says something different. So if that kind of speaks into the 30-somethings, the 40-somethings, man, shape your ministries around what people love. And you're clearly doing it. We've seen it with Hope House and all. What is it?
Hope Clinic.
Hope Clinic. Friendship, you have a microphone? House. And Friendship House.
Friendship House, right.
Okay, I was combining them.
That's okay.
Forgive me. But that's awesome. And we were talking about if you guys closed down tomorrow or decided to move somewhere else that was more spacious and easier for you, would it leave a hole here in this community? The answer is yes.
You had mentioned to me that you're doing some things to train leaders right now.
Yeah.
Elders, talk a little bit about that.
Yeah. Do you want to share something?
Well, he asked a question.
Yeah, sorry. Sorry, I feel like Linda was trying to say something and I talked over him.
He can talk next.
Okay. I am an elder-led church, which is different than First Baptist, which they have a church leadership team and committees, but elder-led is what we're looking at. So I'm training men to look at 1 Timothy 3, where we're kind of seeing some of these qualifications for what a leader looks like in church. And so I've just extended the invitation to some men who are actively eldering in my life. And that little invitation's grown to about 7 or 8 men. And we sit together one Wednesday a month, and we're going to do so. 2026 is the time that we're going to reevaluate, but we're going to do so until then and pray that the fruit of that process is elders and leaders of the church. But until then, First Baptist Church is taking on all kind of administrative and leadership roles for us, which is such a giant blessing. Once you start going down the path of church planting, I mean, we got a quote today for signs. It was $6,900. You know, like, what? Signs? Can't I just go hold something on the corner? Like, no. No, you need to be prepared for this and bring people in a way that's professional in some ways, because you're speaking the gospel into a consumer culture. So all that stuff, First Baptist is kind of helping with and leading alongside of us until 2026. That's what leadership kind of looks like in this season.
I'm going backwards a little bit because Kenny was talking from the church planter angle of how to reach out to the new groups and the new age groups. And from the church side of things, when I came to First Baptist Church of Weatherford, of course, their desire was to reach people that they weren't reaching, right? Because that's the thing that churches often want to do. And lovingly, what I started telling my church is, well, then stop asking each other how to do that and start asking the people that you're not reaching how to do that. And amazingly, when you start asking the people that are not here, what can we do to serve you and love you so that you might want to be a part of this community, and what will it take for us to do that, they'll actually have an answer for you. And our church, our vision for our church is to be a place where people discover that they're fully known and fully loved by God. And that comes directly from Romans 5:8, which says that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And so for our particular First Baptist Church, though they're all unique and different, for ours, it was really helping people understand that we want to go meet people where they are. And we want to love them where they are, not with a transactional kind of love, but with a love that says, we love you where you are. Now, nobody wants to stay where they are if they're in a difficult situation in life. They don't need to be reminded of that. They just need to be loved where they are, and we trust the Holy Spirit to work in that area. So part of the revitalization of our church began with simply asking the questions to the people that we weren't reaching, what can we do to love you and serve you? And then actually making changes to make that happen. I'll give an example, and I don't want to get anybody in trouble, but I'll give an example. So while the adults in my church at the time were asking the question, what can we do to reach the younger generation, they were also occupying the newest, cleanest, nicest area of the church. And I said, well, these beautiful mom of preschoolers don't want to come to the dingy old yellow-looking Baptist buildings that over there, they would actually like something that looks more secure and safe. And one thing that we had in our church was a building similar to this, but our preschool was in one building and our children's ministry was in another. So when a mom of seven showed up and had to take her two preschoolers over here and her five elementary, and she's worn out by the time she gets to worship, that wasn't good. So how can we centralize these things? How can we make life easier for you? How can we serve you? How can we help you? And we started asking those people that, and that's a lot of what Kenny is saying. There's not a program that we're implementing. There's not a path that we're following. It's simply we're trying to love our neighbor and going and reaching out to those that are God has put right around us and how we can do that. And then to piggyback on your leadership, from day one, Kenny and I both looked at each other and we said, honestly, he says, I don't want to plant a Baptist church. I said, good, I don't want to either. And that kind of caught him off guard. And different reasons that we both said that. And what's funny is he's planting a Baptist church. Just thought I'd tell you that right now. But he was led there by the Spirit, not by a pastor who felt like he needed to convince him why he needed to do these things. But my heart was, Weatherford already has First Baptist Church. We need a new church. Because First Baptist Church is going to continue to reach people that First Baptist Church is called and can reach. With the ministries and the things and the programs that God's provided us with. And the Garden Church is going to reach people that the Garden Church can reach, and working together, we're going to have a greater impact on the kingdom than us both trying to do the same thing. So that's part of the reason of he has a different need for his leadership, a different background. So I'm like, yeah, do it that way. And that's a wonderful illustration too, because he's come to me and goes, Lindell, how do I do this with elders? And I'm like, I don't know. I don't have elders, never have, and I probably never will. So you need to go somewhere else to find out the answer to that question. So there are other church partners that are meeting with him to give him wisdom in how to set up an elder-led congregation and to do that well. So that's how we've handled this along the way. So,
well, now, a bunch of us went to lunch today, and I told the people who went they need to ask questions. So, but I hope if you have a question, you'll feel free to answer it. Let me say a couple of things myself. You know, I'm really hoping that our church will come alongside and partner with the church, with Garden Church. But, you know, there's more than just, I mean, we have some money that we're going to give to them, and that's in the budget, and that's great, and this kind of stuff. But, you know, money is just a small piece of what this needs to be about. This will be the fourth or fifth church start I've been involved with in my years. And the thing that's meant the most to the church starters has been the people who went to help in various ways. And there are lots of ways that you can help. One is you can pray. There is never enough prayer in a church start, because one of the things I've found in the church starts I'm familiar with is the enemy comes against any new kingdom venture. He doesn't want it to work, and that'll be true for these guys as well. And so I hope you'll be willing to pray for Garden Church. I think something else I hope you'll be willing to do is maybe go and help with Garden Church. This may surprise, but some of you may feel called to take your weekends for some period of time and go and help them. Or maybe you feel led to go and be there for several months to help them. I don't know, whatever God would have you to do, okay? And then as we'll have, you know, short-term opportunities as time goes on for you to be involved, and I hope you'll be involved with some of those, where we'll go over a week and do something. Maybe we'll do a block party, or we'll do a fall festival or something like that, the kinds of things that'll help them gather a crowd. But one of the reasons why I wanted to do a church that was in reasonable driving distance is because the closer it is, the more people can be involved. The more we can hear from these guys, the more we can be connected to Garden Church. And that's what I know I desire, and I hope you're willing to be part of it, okay? Now, if I understand correctly, you're hoping to maybe begin having worship services in January sometime?
Yeah, January 12th is the launch day right now. I think we're going to begin probably pulling back a little bit more from First Baptist as attenders and start becoming more of a presence in the community, where we're going to plant the church through prayer walking. Things like would be awesome to have other saints come alongside of us and do. there's a lot of work that needs to be done in the area. And yeah, so January 12th is when we're looking at launching hard services, but we're looking at beginning real on the ground, hands and feet of Jesus work as soon as possible.
So those kind of hands and feet kind of work, that's something maybe you and I can do. Maybe you want to go for the first service and be there to be supportive,
yeah,
to pray for them, to help in some way. There's just so much that can be done. And by the way, you're not too old and you're not too young.
Yeah.
By the way, Kenny said his age. Kenny is 39.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so that's how old he is, just in case you're wondering. So he's real young. Okay. John. Let me rephrase that real quickly so the people live stream can hear it. John is saying that the thing he's excited that Kenny and Garden Church will reach people who will never set foot in a place like First Baptist. Not because First Baptist is bad, but because this is not the kind of place for them. And their pains, their hurts, their needs will be met in that church. And that was something else too. When I first met Kenny, I thought, hey, this guy is different. And I think it's totally cool. Now I'm going to tell you a secret, all right? You notice that Kenny has on long sleeves? How many people wear long sleeves when it's 157 or whatever it was outside today? Yeah. Well, William does.
Yeah.
William,
let's see if
William is wearing long sleeves, yeah, and Paul is wearing long sleeves for the same reason. Kenny's wearing long sleeves because his arms are inked with tattoos. Now, that, you know, you don't see many people like that here, but one of the things I know from
Robert, raise your hand, brother. I see you over there in boldness, short sleeves on. Come on, baby.
Yeah, that's right. You know, that's going to help him reach a group of people that maybe would be difficult for us to reach. And that's the point. That's the whole purpose of being part of this. And so it's a great reason to be excited. Anybody else got a question? We have 3 minutes. Anybody got a 3-minute question? Do we? Yes, Paul. You mean how our church would support them?
Which First Baptist?
Oh, First Baptist.
First Baptist.
Oh, okay. Okay. I'm sorry. So, a lot of First Baptists here.
As I said, so first of all, Kenny and I have been meeting for 3 years now. So it's been mentorship and purposeful discipleship, of which has grown into a very deep mutual love and respect. I learn as much from him as he learns from me. So that has benefited First Baptist Church in Weatherford greatly as well. Our leadership structure and our administrative structure is, to make this in simple church terms, for the first, until January of 2026, is basically treating the Garden Church as a program of First Baptist Church. So all of their legal and all of their administrative all comes through us. We're taking care of all that so that they can focus on reaching people and then take their time in establishing all of the legal things that are required to start a church. We are funding, as we said, $100,000 over a 2-year period. We've partnered with him for education and for ministries. Our church leadership team is acting as his elder board right now, so all of the decisions that his leadership team makes then runs through our leadership team just for some vetting and some support on that, and just to help along the way. And then we also plan the same thing that you guys are being invited to do. There will be people who go and are a part of the Garden Church in different ministries and different ways to help support that along the way. Great question.
That is a good one. Yes.
Physically,
you're going to meet?
Going to meet at Austin Elementary School. Go for it. Austin Elementary School. There we go. We've rented Austin Elementary School in Weatherford, Texas, and are building a partnership with them. And one of the things I love about what Kenny has said is he's not starting this church plant as needy. He's actually already begun to say, what can we do to bless Austin Elementary? And he's already started to budget to be a blessing to the place that he's paying rent to. And he's already had conversations about, Lindell, what about instead of buying all the equipment that we take in, we put it in a trailer and we keep it to ourselves, what if we just installed it at Austin and let them use it? And then if God blesses us with a church later, they can just keep it too. I'm like, bro, that's your church. You can do what you want. So he's already thinking in those terms of how he can bless the community in that way as well.
Then let me ask you to pray us out because our time's up. But one thing, folks, feel free to come by and ask these guys any question you want to.
I'm going to actually defer because I asked Kenny just a second ago. That's what I whispered to him. I said, I'm going to ask you to pray for this church that's going to be praying for you. So
Sounds good.
Yeah, our Father, you are so good. Man, thank you so much for Jesus, for all that means for everyone sitting in this room. Thank you for Pastor Greg, for Pastor Jim, for every sweet soul we've got to encounter here today. Father, just excited to see you at work here in Garland, Texas. Excited to see the saints encouraged, excited for a new gospel work that you're doing. Father, would you bless them in their time of a new building project, in their time of, they're uncertain of some funds and where they're going to come from to take care of so many needs that are going to arise from that. Father, I just pray that you give them confidence. I pray that you give them clarity that it is you who will build your church. And so I thank you so much for this time here tonight. I pray just safe travels for everyone home. I pray blessings on their households, blessings on their hearts. And may they go from here tonight and be encouraged and see you as even more beautiful than they did when they walked in here, and be encouraged in such a way that they'll be a light as they leave here and help show more people the beauty and the goodness of Jesus. And we ask it all in his name. Amen.